Bone-chilling greetings, my ghouls. The tunes are courtesy of the amazing Bobby Mackey, and I, of course, am your host, Tessa Morrow.
Now today it's a different place, all the same with a new face, with strange mysteries hanging in the air. People in their sane minds swear they see you today. Are you looking for the love they took away?
Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers podcast part of your morning, day, night, graveyard shift, whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from the cities that never sleep to sleepy mountain town, from tiny village to desolate desert, and you guessed it, everything in between. It is absolutely appreciated.
Round of applause. This week's city shout-out goes to
Leon Valley, Texas, Bagula, India, Munster, Indiana, Huntingtown, Maryland. And oh my lord, I am going to butcher this one. So sorry, ahead of time. Ciudad Nezahualcóyotl, Mexico. I tried. I'm sorry. And Daly City, California. So today I want to talk a little bit about two objects that are believed by many to be cursed. Spirits can attach to the living, been there, done that. So why not attach to an object? Go to an antique store and buy an oldie but goodie, and you may come home with more than you bargained for. Placing a curse on something, well, that's a whole other ball field. The Bassano vase, it is believed to come from Italy around the 15th century, and it's said that every person who was given this vase died shortly afterwards. Legend has it, supposedly the vase was given to this Italian bride. She was young, she was healthy, oh, and she was so happy. The next day, she was marrying the love of her life. To say that she was on cloud nine was probably an understatement, right? She cannot stop smiling. Nothing or no one could ruin her day, her big moment. Tomorrow, when she walked down that aisle to marry the love of her life, her beloved, all eyes would be on her. And at the end of the day, they would be man and wife. And it looks like it just got a little better for her. Someone left a present. She opens the box to see a vase. It's a silver vase. It's nothing super fancy or elegant or unique. It looks like an average, normal vase. But it's the thought that counts. And in her head, she's already beginning to think of a place where she can put it in their home. Well, sadly, this young woman who had her whole life ahead of her will not live long enough to marry her beloved the following day, as she is found lying on the floor. The once healthy woman is hugging the vase ever so tightly to her body, vowing vengeance upon who or what, we don't know. She then dies. You know, so with legends, how they differentiate sometimes. Some counts say this happened, while others claim something else happened. Well, it goes the same with the Bassano vase. Some share that she was found not dying, but that she was already dead, and that it was the following day. I kind of like the dying and swearing vengeance route myself. Now, it's said that this vase, the Bassano vase, was passed down to a family member of the young soon-to-be bride. The woman who never got to be a bride, the doomed bride, if you will, and that this person passed away shortly afterwards, just like the bride. And it just kept getting passed down family member to family member, and they were dropping like flies. The family soon realizes that maybe this is the vase at work, right? As they had never experienced anything like this before in their family. Yeah, they had people die, but you know, not like this. And then all of a sudden, they're losing everybody that they love left and right. So With agreement that the vase is responsible for all the deaths, they decide that they need to get rid of it, and fast. Whatever they did with it, wherever they hid it, it worked, because for several years, no weird, mysterious, funky deaths took place. It's like the vase was truly cursed. Or maybe it was the family themselves. It wouldn't be the first time we heard about families being cursed, right? I mean, Hemingway, Colt, Guinness, Coors, and don't forget about the Kennedys. I mean, the list just, it goes on. And I mean, if you think about it, and really think about it, if this is not a legend or a story, and that it really did happen to this one particular family, maybe they truly were cursed. And it took an event like a wedding for that curse to just, like, you know, start playing out. The bride, she dies. A bunch of family members die. And maybe the vase is really just a vase, right? If this ended with a family, then I would think that that's a good possibility. But what happens next throws that theory, right out the window, with a family curse being a possibility. The vase, after being gone for hundreds of years, makes an appearance once more in the late 1980s, circa 87-88. The vase came with a warning, a paper hidden inside bearing the words, "Beware, the vase brings death." LoraThrill.com goes into a bit more detail, quote, "Ironically enough, instead of scaring people off, the peculiarity of the Bassano vase made it popular among auctions, even selling for roughly 4 million Italian lira at one point. Eventually reached its first buyer, a pharmacist who owned the odd find for 3 short months before his sudden death. The next owner was a surgeon, who also strangely passed, just a mere couple of months following the pharmacist's demise. And close behind came the third and believed to be the final buyer, an archaeologist who thought of the silver ornament as
a beautiful example of high Renaissance work.
Sad to say, he too kicked the bucket after another 3 months. At that point, the Bassano vase already had an infamous reputation. And so, even when the family of the last buyer tried their best to resell the feared vase, no one took interest. In hopes of ridding themselves of the curse tied to the Bassano vase, a family member tossed it out of a window, only to hit the head of a police officer passing by. Good thing it did not turn out to be fatal. The family right away agreed to pay for the violation ticket issued for them, but fiercely refused to take back the vase, no matter what." Unquote. So law enforcement, they found themselves stuck with this deadly vase. At the time, again, it had already gained a rather notorious and deadly reputation, and they did not want anything to do with it. Can you blame them? They even desperately tried reaching out to nearby museums, but even the museums avoided the vase like the bubonic plague. It's like you couldn't pay anyone to take it. And can you blame them again? People are dying left and right. Is there really a price worth your life? Especially if you're not around to reap the benefit?
Here's $1 million, but hey toots, you won't live long enough to even see it, let alone spend it.
No thank you. Now, you know, don't get me wrong. I love a good story. I love legends. I love curses. I love the weird and unexplained. That's why I have this podcast. But I love curses? I know that sounds weird, right? Maybe love is not the right word when it comes to curses, but it piques my interest. Whenever I do episodes about curses, I learn a hell of a lot, and it makes me wonder. But again, no thank you. Just because curses interest me doesn't mean I want to become part of a curse or be cursed myself. Haven't been there, haven't done that, and I want to keep it that way. So, if I saw a little warning like that, vase comes with death, I would probably pay attention to that, or not ignore it like these individuals did. And sadly, they paid with their lives. TheGypsyThread.org also mentions the resurfacing of the vase, adding a little bit more detail to the story, or legend, or whatever you want to call it. Quote, "The Bassano vase remained hidden until it resurfaced in 1988, bringing more hardship and death along with it. The tale of the rediscovery tells how it was found by an unsuspecting young man who had dug it up somewhere. There is much frustration about the lack of specific details on locations and names. Some say he found it in his yard, while other versions simply skip over the geography. It's also been said that the vase was buried with a note that stated, "Beware, this vase brings death." Apparently, this warning had little effect on the young man who unearthed it. He must have only looked at the financial ramifications of the item and disregarded the message. The vase was quickly auctioned off, sans the warning note, for 4 million Italian lira to a pharmacist. Unquote. Today, the exact whereabouts of the cursed Bassano vase, it remains a complete and utter mystery. And maybe that's a good thing. Actually, yeah, I know that's a good thing, seeing that people don't pay attention to the warning, especially if that note no longer exists. So the question I have is, where was the vase all of those years, right? I mean, for hundreds of years, it was just hidden, dormant. The vase of death not claiming any victims that we know of. The family of the Italian bride did such a good job hiding it, but I'm really curious where the hell that hiding place was. Now, some say a local church takes possession of it, buries it somewhere on holy sacred church grounds, while others say that it was buried at a church graveyard or other type of burial ground. And resurfacing, it kind of makes me think of Jumanji. Not the more recent ones, never cared to see those, but I mean the badass original Jumanji with my boy Robin Williams. The dreaded game hiding, waiting ever so patiently to be found. Cue the eerie music. So beware about that wedding gift or any gift in general. Or if you are in an antique store and find something that piques your interest, well, as mentioned before, you may just be taking something home that you did not bargain for. So the other cursed item that I want to talk about in this episode is the one and only Busby stooping chair. And this one was actually requested long ago by my sister, Casey Morrow. This ever so deadly chair. Now, unlike the Bassano vase, which is surrounded by legend with real no names attached to it, or, you know, okay, we had a few people die, but no names to them or causes of death or really much detail. Still, again, love legends. This one actually has an actual name connected to it, an actual person who existed, and it's named after him. Enter Thomas Busby. Thomas was a killer, one-time killer, from the United Kingdom. He was a drunk who was very temperamental. Not a good combination at all. Now, in my life, I've experienced seeing many different types of drunken states. You have the goofy-ass drunks, right? The ones when alcohol seems to bring the comedian out of them. It's funny, and it's harmless. That's a good type of drunk in my book. Then, you have the ones that repeat themselves. Yes, it can be annoying, but much like the goofy drunk, harmless. How about the emotional drunk? And I don't mean temperamental, but emotional, where maybe they talk about stuff that bugs them, but they keep it deep inside themselves when they're sober, but it comes pouring out like a leaky faucet when they're drunk. Again, you guessed it, harmless. But when you have somebody who's extremely temperamental, and it does not take a lot for them to blow up, like a hidden bomb, right? And then you add them being drunk to the mix. Yeah, that can be pretty harmful. So Thomas Busby would be executed in 1702 for the murder of his father-in-law, which he committed the very same year of his execution, 1702. His father-in-law, he was no innocent lamb. I mean, don't get me wrong, he didn't deserve to be murdered, obviously. But the two men, they were actual partners in crime. Son-in-law and father-in-law. This wouldn't be the first time we hear about one turning on the other, right? Partners in crime. Remember how H.H. Holmes took out his partner in crime? I mean, there's no honor among thieves. Well, same thing happens here between Thomas and his father-in-law, Daniel. The The two men took pleasure in counterfeiting coins, made good money doing that, and other less than honest hobbies together. One day, an argument takes place between these two men. A fight breaks out, and Daniel ends up dead. You see, they're at a pub where it just so happens that Thomas Busby's favorite chair resides. And Daniel makes the ever so fatal mistake in sitting in this chair. Thomas, he's drunk and he's angry as ever. He sees red. He physically removes the elderly gentleman from his beloved chair.
How dare you sit in this chair? It's mine.
Kicks him out of the pub. And later that night, with hammer in hand, anger in his heart, and hate running vigorously through his damn veins, Thomas heads over to his father-in-law, Daniel's house, and he is bludgeoned to death. Thomas tries to hide the body, but does a very lousy job in doing so, thank God, and the body is found shortly afterwards. With the display of hate and anger he showed this man the last night of, unbeknownst to him, of his life, of course, witnesses saw this being in a pub, right? And I'm sure evidence was left behind as well. And suspicion is cast Thomas's way almost immediately. And Thomas Busby is quickly charged with the murder of Daniel. And his punishment? It's death. Before he died, with his chair ever so on his mind, he cursed anyone stupid enough who dared to sit in his chair would die soon after. Just like his father-in-law, Daniel. Maybe not by bludgeoning, but he would meet an untimely and sudden death. Okay, so seriously, am I missing something here? It's a chair. Was it made out of gold with rubies and emeralds and diamonds and other type of special things embedded in it? Why was he so obsessed over this specific object, a chair? Obsessed enough to kill over it, mind you. Literally murdering his father-in-law. Utterly insane in my book. Makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, I have a favorite place that I like to sit in my house. It's nice and it's cozy, but I ain't gonna butcher someone for it if they sit in that chair. Like, how dare you, good sir? Not gonna happen. Thomas, you went overboard, my man. Faxcology.com talks more about what went on with the chair once the doomed Thomas Busby was no longer around, being executed ever so long ago. Quote, in 1894, a man visits the pub with his friend. Drinking too much, he took the last seat of his life on Busby's chair. After leaving the pub and being too drunk to continue his journey home, he laid down on the road to sleep. The next morning, he was found hanging from a post next to the very same gallows where Thomas Busby was once hanged. Many airmen during the Second World War would dare each other to sit on the chair, knowing full well of the curse. Those that did, legend has it, never returned home. In 1968, two other airmen sat in the chair, some say only for a second, but in that second, they sealed their fates. On their way back to the airfield, they crashed into a tree, dying on their way to the hospital. Other stories, such as a cleaning lady diagnosed with a brain tumor, cyclists and motorcyclists crashing and dying after sitting on the chair, exhausted hitchhikers, a man in his 30s dying from a massive heart attack, and from a group of builders. One took the dare to sit on the chair, later falling through the roof of a building and dying soon after. Some accounts attribute up to 60 kills to the chair. After this, the owner of the pub locked it in a cellar, hoping to put an end to the curse. But this isn't the end of the story. A delivery man in 1978 saw the chair in the cellar and decided to take a seat, saying the chair was so comfortable to be locked up. Shortly after leaving the pub, he too crashed and died. The owner of the pub considered this the last straw and immediately donated the chair to the Thirsk Museum on the condition it is hung on the wall and never taken down. Unquote. There is sort of a twist to the ending here. The same article, along with other articles that I read, report that a historian that specializes in furniture inspects the chair and found it dating after 1840, that it was more machine-made than handmade. And if this is true, this simply cannot be the original Busby chair. Mathematically, it does not make any sense. Thomas was basically in love with this chair, right? He was executed for murdering a man for sitting in this chair in 1702. The imposter chair, if it is an imposter chair, was not made until 138 years after his execution. So, is this the real chair? If not, where the hell is the Busby chair? Is it somewhere else, claiming victims that we don't even have any clue about? And why would this chair be played off as being the original chair? Okay, so the way that Thomas was executed, it's basically an episode all on its own. And I did learn a bit more about it, so I will be doing that episode sometime in the future. So he was executed by hanging with chains. It's a different form of hanging, better known as gibbeting, where being hanged with your typical rope noose, death is not instant, but let's just say it's a hell of a lot quicker than gibbeting. Oftentimes it is a slow death, then their bodies would just remain there, displayed for all to see for quite some time, in some cases for years. Like, this person's an example, do not do what this person did or you will end up like this, for all to see, for a long ass time. And sometimes after death, they would be exhumed and placed in the gibbet for display once again. It's just very weird stuff. So this type of method of execution, it was practiced in several different locations, including Afghanistan, Australia, Bermuda, Canada, England, Germany, Iran, Malta, the Netherlands, and even the United States, more specifically in the US, Massachusetts, and New York. And typically, it was usually pirates that would have this form of execution out here, at least. Captain Kidd was executed this way as well. So the location where Thomas Busby was executed is now home to the Busby Stoop Inn, a location where people have experienced strange happenings, including capturing EVPs. Gotta love that electronic voice phenomena. And some people capturing a man's voice and believing it to be Thomas Busby himself. So if for some reason this is the right chair, its location is at the Thirsk Museum in North Yorkshire, England, located on the first floor, and yeah, it's suspended up in the air. So no double dog dare yas or see what happeners. This museum is taking no chances, and with the track record and history connected to this ever so deadly chair, can you blame them? But again, the historian that specializes in that type of thing, furniture, that the dates just don't make any sense. So who knows? Perhaps it's somewhere in a different location, still claiming victims. But next time you sit in a chair, just think it could be the Busby chair, waiting to claim its next victim. And it could be the last thing that you do.
That concludes another fantastic podcast. Legend has it, if you don't tune in, I'll be returning to haunt you. So make sure to tune in for the next episode.
Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others. They are all phenomenal. Haven't heard every single damn one yet? No need to lose any sleep about it. You could hit up any of those podcast platforms, such as iVoox, Sonos, Podbay, Podbean, GeoSavin, Muckrack, Spotify, Podcast Republic. Basically, wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers podcast lurking in the background. Thanks, everyone, and I will see you Thursday. Not next week, but Thursday, for my annual September 11th episode.
See you Thursday.